with you today. It's a blessing. I miss you all when I'm not here. I miss you all when we have some missing, you know. But there is coming a day where there will be no one missing. We look forward to that day, don't we? I have had some... At first I thought small thoughts or a few ways that we... Well, my question was an easy question, I thought. The question was, how is Christ our example? And the more I mean, it's an easy question to ask, and it's really an easy question to answer. You can go back and look about all the kingdom principles and know and look at Jesus' life and how he acted and how he responded to people. And that is a good template, or really the only template for us to conduct our lives. But I really got to thinking about the things that Christ, that the Scripture specifically says things that we ought to do because Christ did them as our great example. And I really don't know where to start, except I guess the best place to start is to figure out where we came from. So I'd like for you to turn to John chapter 17. Now we're probably going, there's so many things that are contained in this chapter, I'd like to read it. And maybe not read all of it at first, but there's so many examples in this that the Lord says. These are, chapter 17 comes on the heels of when he started speaking to his disciples in chapter 14, when he told them, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." And he goes and he tells them about what's going to happen. They're going to put you out of the synagogues, and I've got to go away, but if I go away, I will come again. He says, and if I go away, I'll send the Comforter to you. So this is the context with which Jesus is teaching the disciples, and he knows that his hour is come. And this chapter 17 is, if you really want to get down to it, this is the Lord's Prayer. It's not the model prayer. Well, it is a model prayer because Jesus prayed it, but this is not what he... The one that the model prayer was how he taught us how to pray, but this is Jesus' prayer to the Father. And he says in verse 33, before of 16, he says, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, this is the beginning of the prayer, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, talking about himself, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him, he's still talking about himself, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. Oneness with the Father. Keep that in mind, because he's not finished with that. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now I come to thee, and now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. So there's a lot of preaching in that, and I could spend months and months and months. But what I really want out of that first part is this last verse that I read about us not being of the world, as Christ is not of the world. We can apply our citizenship to the same citizenship that Jesus has. And he says that I did not come from the world, and I'm in the world, but I'm not of the world. And he said that same thing about us I believe in chapter 14, earlier on in 15 maybe, he says, these are not of the world, as I'm not of the world. He said it more than once. And, you know, Paul talked about our citizenship. He talked about our being strangers. He talked about our being strangers and foreigners in this world. He says, they that look for a city whose builder and maker is God. Those people, they confess plainly that they're strangers and pilgrims on this earth. If they realize that that this is not their place, if something in them has a desire to be with you in glory, that means that they're realizing that it's just not going to work out well enough for them down here, and they long to be somewhere else. So just as Jesus is not of the world, you, as a quickened child of God, are not of the world. You are born again. You were loved from the Father from the beginning. And if you were loved from the beginning, you will be loved world without end, everlasting and eternal glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Just like Jesus. He said, you loved me from everlasting. And he loved you from everlasting to everlasting. Isn't that great? So Jesus is saying that even as they're just like me, God, they're not of the world. They're in the world, but they're not of the world. They didn't derive or originate in the world. Yeah, we were conceived here. We were born here. We live our lives here. And we'll die here. But our death is not final. It is just a stepping stone. It's it's taking the husk off of corn. It's exposing the real thing that is the fruit that's inside of us, and it doesn't. And on the resurrection day, it doesn't appear what we're going to be, but we know that we're going to be like Him. Y'all see that? That's great. That our Jesus says, Father, they're just like me. They're not of the world. They didn't originate here. They originated in heaven. God knew us before the foundation of the world. And He loved us then. He loved us like He loved His Son. I tell you, that's great, isn't it? That's great. Now, there are some other likenesses that Jesus says. He says, I've given them Thy word, and the world hath hated them. You know something else you have in common with Christ? And get ready, it's coming. And it's coming fast. The world hath hated them. Why does the world hate you? It's because you don't like the world. You're not a child of the world. That's why the world doesn't hate you. I mean, that's why the world does hate you. I'm sorry. That's why the world hates you. Because the world hates God. And if it hates God, it hates Christ. And if it hates Christ, it hates you. If you're in the world but not of the world, it hates you. You're not like it. And if you're not like it, you will be persecuted by it. But that's okay because you're like Christ. They persecuted Him, they're going to persecute you. John 15 and 20 says this, remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, and they did, they will also persecute you. Do you think persecution is coming for you? Do you think it is? Did they persecute Jesus? Then you can rest assured it's coming to you. Jesus said, if they persecuted me, and they did, they will persecute you. That's not a suggestion. It's not a maybe will or maybe won't. He said, it is going to happen. It is going to happen. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. Did they keep his saying? Some of them did. But did they all? No. So do you expect, that's the reason why these churches are empty now. Is because they're not keeping his sayings. I don't expect them to keep mine if they're not keeping his. I mean, I get discouraged sometimes. But I really don't have a basis for being discouraged. Because I know all these things are coming. And I don't need to be shocked when they show up. Do you see that? I mean, I still do get discouraged sometimes, but Jesus said if they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. Do you think Jesus knows what he's talking about? I do. You know, Paul says, I rejoice in my sufferings. Why? Because if he was suffering for the name of Christ, he was doing it right. If he was suffering for the name of Christ, then the world hated him. My question to you is, does the world hate you? I'll tell you what, they don't like what I got to say. And not just while I'm standing up here. They don't like what I got to say. And the more vocal I become, the more scared I get. Maybe not scared, but I put myself out there for more persecution. When a man declares the truth of God's Word in the midst of a crooked and a perverse generation, in this ungodly, cursed world, they don't like it. They don't. But that's an example that Christ gave us, isn't it? He didn't compromise with the world, did he? He didn't say, oh, well, it's okay if you do just a little bit. Or it's okay if you follow me and you follow Satan. It's okay if you follow your riches and don't follow me. I know you love me. I know deep down somewhere you love me. And that's okay for you to be a friend of the world. Jesus never taught that, did he? He said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Because their doctrine is like poison. Friends, I'm telling you, the doctrines that the world is spewing today is poison. And they want you, and they're going to persecute you for even thinking that what they're telling you is poison. Any kind of drawback, any kind of kickback that you have, a resistance against the world is going to result in persecution for you if you're standing upon the truth of God. It is that way. It is that way. More now than it ever has been. In this country, I mean. in this country. People are still persecuted all over the world. They have been for 2,000 and something years. I mean real persecution, not the kind that we've faced in the past. I mean real persecution. You know, the Apostle Saul of Tarsus persecuted the church of God, didn't he? How did he persecute the church of God? He put Christians to death. He consented to it. He ordered it. He took the people that were doing what you and I are doing this morning, would bust in the front doors and hail men and women and put them in prison. And he had the authority to do so from their government, from the Sanhedrin court, from Jerusalem, the seat of their religious government. He had letters that gave him the authority to do that. Why should we think that anything less is coming? But be of good cheer, Jesus says. Just like I'm not of the world and I go to the Father, you, Jesus says, are not of the world. And as I live, he says, you shall live also. If Jesus went back to the Father, you can rest assured that when your life is over, you will be going back to the Father. He says, fear not. You know, you can be scared but not live in fear. Fear not, I have overcome the world. He said the world's not going to win. The world's going to hate you. The world's going to persecute you just like it did me, but it's not going to win. Oh, you may lose your life, but that's still not a win in God's eyes. It may be in the world's eyes, but not finally. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where's thy victory? You know, it may come to a point where we might have a very real chance, probability, of being taken to jail for what we're doing right now. My question to you is, will you be here if that's a possibility? Will you stand up? I'm asking. You might not. I don't know the circumstances. I don't know what I'll do. I think I know what I'll do, but I can't say for 100% sure. If they persecuted me, how did they persecute Jesus? Did they spit on him? Did they mock him? Yeah, that's soft persecution. Did they flog him with a cat of nine tails and scourge him? That's more physical, isn't it? What else did they do to him? They didn't just kill him. I mean, they did. With wicked hands, take and slay the Lord. Now, he laid down his own life. They didn't take it from him. Y'all understand that. But they did kill him. I mean, he laid down his life. But the purpose of a cross is not to kill. That may be the ultimate end, but the purpose of a cross is not to kill. The purpose of a cross is to punish and to suffer. That's the purpose, to make people suffer. it's going to come to the point before the Lord gives a shout that that will be their purpose for every one of the followers of God. I'm not talking about people that just say, I believe in Jesus. I'm talking to people that live it. I'm talking about the people that are willing to die for it. For real, true disciples of Christ. Now, Jesus keeps going, and he says, I've given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. You know, Jesus never promised that we wouldn't be persecuted or that we wouldn't have evil among us or be among evil in the world. He said, I'm asking you, Father, to protect them, keep them from the evil. That tells me there's evil and the world is evil. That tells me the world is evil. That's why Jesus didn't pray for the world. I'm not going to pray for a wicked man. I have no basis to pray for a wicked man. Paul says, I pray, we haven't ceased to pray for you after we heard of your faith in Jesus Christ. I'm not praying for the world. I pray for our leaders, I think we're told to, and I think some of them are of the world. I can't speak for all of them. I don't even know all of them. We're told to pray for our leaders. But you know what? I'm not praying for the world. Why? Because the world is at enmity with Christ. I'm not praying for the world. Jesus said he didn't. That's a pretty good indication that I don't need to. I'm not praying for the world. That is against Christ. I pray that God's glory be manifest in them, but I don't pray for them. You know, most preachers, most Christianity wouldn't have that on a silver platter. You know it. Do y'all know that? Even they would persecute me for standing up for Jesus and what he said. Now, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Sanctify them. He said, this is Jesus in his prayer, praying to God that you would be set apart by his truth. That's Jesus' prayer for you. That you would be set apart from the world. I take it to mean. And I'm telling you, sometimes we need to be sanctified from the religious world. Because the religious world is following the world. By and large. They're mixing. And if they're mixing, that ain't right. We need to set ourselves apart. But Jesus asked God to sanctify them through thy truth. Through thy word. Thy word is truth. Now, he says, eat as. Now this is another example then, right? Because he said as. That means what follows is a likeness. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. Why is that? Why did God send Jesus into the world? He gave Jesus a work to do, and Jesus had already stated, I have finished the work that you gave me to do. He hadn't finished at this time. He hadn't finished the sacrifice work that he had done, but he had finished his work in giving the apostles the word of truth. He had finished that, and I'm telling you, but Jesus is yesterday, today, and forever. So he could speak of his time on the cross as having already been accomplished in the present tense, because he's I am. Now, I'm not going to get in a debate over little bitty sticky matters like that. Jesus said, I've finished the work that thou sent me to do, and I think that probably means all of it. Even though we hadn't done it. You know, the works were finished before the foundation of the world, Bible says. But he had to still do it. Now, Jesus says, you sent me into the world to do a job. And I finished that job. And as you sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. Not to do the job that God gave Jesus, because Jesus says, I finished the work that you gave me to do, but he sent us into the world for a different work that is along the same lines. The reason why Jesus sent us into the world is that as ambassadors for Christ, not to tell people that they ought to become citizens of that country, but to the citizens of that country to let them know the affairs of what's happening in that country. An ambassador deals with the affairs. I mean, we got ambassadors, the UN ambassadors we got ambassadors to China, we got ambassadors to Canada, we got ambassadors to Iraq, we got ambassadors to Russia, we got ambassadors to South America, all places, Kenya, Tanzania, all places all over the world. And do you know what those ambassadors' job is? It's not to get the people in those foreign countries to become citizens of the United States. That's not an ambassador's job. An ambassador is to take care of the affairs as a representative of the home country. And brothers and sisters, that's what Jesus sent you into the world to do, is to tell people of this foreign country of the affairs that God has done and about the kingdom of God, because it's not of this world either. It's in the world, but it's not of the world. Amen. So Jesus sends us to the world to preach a message of reconciliation. You can read about that in the Corinthian letter. Paul says that we then, as ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, be ye reconciled unto God. But he says, that's your work. That's your work, is to preach the word of reconciliation. The work of reconciliation was done by Christ. He did that. So, God sent Jesus into the world to do a work, and he did that. He finished it. He completed it to perfection. Had he not, you'd be left in your sins and he'd still be in the grave. Now, what's our work? Our work is to go into the world. And our work is to declare the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Our work is to tell them the story of Jesus to the glory of the Father and the honor and glory of Jesus as having finished his work. I tell you, Jesus came and he did his work, and he was successful at completing the errand he was sent on. I like that. don't you? Now, he says, I've gave them, also sent them into the world. So, I wonder sometimes if we wake up really thinking about what we're here for. Honestly, do you wake up thinking about how I can glorify God today? I must be honest, I don't every day. I go through seasons where I really am focused on how to glorify God. I'll tell you what, I lost a battle this week. I lost a battle this week. I let my frustration come out, not with y'all, with a different part of my life. And we were laughing with some of the folks that I work with. I said, y'all, I almost went to the dark side. It was that bad. And it scared me. And I had to apologize to God because I didn't show a good witness. Now, I don't mean I was cussing and all that stuff, but I let the world get to me. I let it get to me. And it bothers me that I let it get to me. Because, look, folks, that's a stealer of joy. Satan is a stealer of joy. Not that he could actually steal the source of your joy, but he could steal your enjoying the source of your joy. You got it? He can't take Jesus out of you. He can't take you out of Jesus. But it can sure affect us daily. Jesus talked a lot about the joy. Now, then he says, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes, listen, I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Jesus says, everything I'm doing for them. It's the will of God. And I'm doing the will of God, but they're the objects of my love. Why did he have to suffer? Because of our sin. Why did he have to die? Because of our sin. Why was he resurrected? Because he wants you there with him in glory. Hallelujah. Don't you like that? Why would we like to be linked up with Christ when we talk about the good stuff, don't we? Resurrection, we can get better than that. Nothing. Being at home with the Father. But we don't like to talk about the persecution, do we? We don't like to talk about that part of being yoked up with Christ. But he said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, he says, sanctify. I've sanctified myself. That means Jesus set himself apart that you might be sanctified by the truth, that all of his people might be sanctified or set apart. Set apart from what? Set apart from the world. Set apart from error or being deceived by error in this world. He says, for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. You know what Jesus just did? He prayed for you. He prayed for me. He says, I'm praying, Father, for all of those that hear the word and believe what the preacher says. When he's a God-called man, preaching by the power of the Spirit of God, the truth of God. Yeah, there's a lot of preachers that don't preach the truth. But he says, when they preach the truth and they believe this truth, I pray for them that believe on me through their word. And I'm just going to read this. And I want you to, I'm going to read the rest of the chapter. I'm not going to go into it, I don't think. I'm not going to go into it. I'm just going to read, and I want you to listen. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known thee, that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Amen. How, this is Jesus praying for you, praying for me. Aren't you glad that Jesus prayed for you? He still does. I want us to think about the rest of this chapter. Think about all of it. I really want you to think about what it means to be one with the Father. Thou in me and I in thee. And them in us and us in them. Being one, not only with Him, but with each other. I thank God for Jesus Christ. I thank God for His power. I thank God for all the graces that He's given us. And I pray when the time comes that I would be bold, that I would have sure confidence in the Lord, that I would not be afraid what man can do to me. They can do a lot. I pray that for all of us. Let's wake up every day thinking about how we can glorify God. Let's wake up every day thinking, is this the day that you're going to give the shout. Remember, we're still in the world, but we're not of the world. May God bless you this week. Doors of church are open for reception of members should any have the desire to worship God and glorify Him with us. Church membership way. May the Lord bless you is my prayer.